WCCRCV Racine and 98.1 FM W251BU Kenosha.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Stacy Lynn. Another round of snow for a big chunk of the country. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy.
That snow could melt into slush or turn to ice, which will make for a dangerous Friday night commute throughout the Garden State.
And with the snow, more record cold. Gerald Kiner has opened an emergency shelter in Memphis.
Now, I'm cold right now. Basically, when I would step outside for a few minutes to go to my car. So imagine people who have no place to go.
While the federal government's on a two-hour delay today because of the snow in the Washington, D.C. area, a deal was made to keep it open until March. CBS's Scott McFarlane.
This happened on September 30th. It happened again in November, and it's happening again now. They just passed short-term deals to extend the time frame in which they can negotiate how much to spend on government in 2024.
Off to New Hampshire, where campaigning's in full swing ahead of Tuesday's primary. Our Caitlin Huey Burns is there.
Donald Trump is very confident in his chances here, and his campaign really just wants a huge win here to be able to kind of coalesce the party around him and move on and lock this nomination up.
Some good news if you're struggling to pay back your student loans. The Biden administration is canceling $5 billion in debt for 74,000 borrowers. Many of them are teachers, nurses, and firefighters. After the war between Israel and Hamas ends, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says through an interpreter that Israel intends to keep control of all territory west of the Jordan River.
This is a necessary condition, and it clashes with the idea of Palestinian sovereignty. I tell this truth to our American friends.
An American Airlines flight attendant is facing charges for allegedly videoing minors in a bathroom. WBZ Radio's Nicole Davis.
The Justice Department says Estes Thompson allegedly recorded five young girls between January and September of 2023, some girls as young as seven. This all came to light on a September 2nd flight from Charlotte to Boston. Court documents show Thompson told a 14-year-old girl instead of waiting, she could use the first-class bathroom instead. Inside, that's where the girl found a cell phone taped on a toilet seat. After her parents reported it, the investigation began.
Well, college was fun. I would have liked to have stayed longer and partied more, minus the schoolwork, and not have to be an adult. But alas, I had to. Not Miami tight end Cam McCormick, though, who says he's coming back for a ninth season of college football.
Middle with a throw for the touchdown to McCormick.
He spent the first seven at Oregon, transferred to Miami for the 2023 season. He'll keep playing there in 2024. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Reproductive rights will be the topic when Vice President Kamala Harris visits West Bend on Monday. That's according to a release put out by the White House on Thursday. Her remarks come on the 51st anniversary of the Roe v. Wade Supreme Court ruling that legalized abortion. One in 10 teenagers in Wisconsin tried to commit suicide last year. Linda Hall is with the Wisconsin Office for Children's Mental Health. She says teens are under a lot of pressure.
Performing well in high school, getting prepared to go to college. They're concerned about climate change, the proliferation of gun violence, and political divisiveness.
Hall says that the good news is that more than 300 schools around Wisconsin have mental health programs that are led by students. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Wisconsin battles the Hoosiers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the 11th-ranked Wisconsin Badgers host the Indiana Hoosiers at the Kohl Center. Wisconsin remains at the top of the Big Ten with a record of 13-4, 5-1 in the conference. After losing to Penn State, head coach Greg Gard.
We've grown a lot. We took on the schedule we did because we had an experienced team that we felt not only could handle it, but needed to be challenged.
NFL, it's the Packers and the 49ers. Saturday night in the divisional playoffs, Packers quarterback Jordan Love.
You know, it's a great challenge for us. They're a really good defense. They got a really good offense as well, so they're a great team all around.
The 49ers' Nick Bosa comparing Jordan Love to Aaron Rodgers.
I'm a quarterback who does exactly what he's coached to do, which Aaron Rodgers is a Hall of Famer and unbelievable, but he kind of went outside of the realm of coaching, and sometimes it's good when you have a guy who does what he's coached to do.
That's 49ers defensive end Nick Bosa. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
It is going to be cloudy with off and on light snow continuing, although I do not expect much more in the way of accumulation, maybe an additional dusting on top of what we have. It's going to be a bit breezy, too, so there could be some blowing snow at times. 14 the high, the wind will be northwest at 15 to 25. Tonight down to 4 above, tomorrow sunshine. High of 16. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now is 10.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio. Refreshed.
News, talk, and sports.
Talk about your triple play.
Get this guy a jockstrap and a cookie.
1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
Also, when I was a child, my mom told me if I went on a roller coaster, my head would snap off. What the heck kind of parenting skills are those? I didn't go on a roller coaster till last summer. I wore 7 turtlenecks and a tie. I wish I had my helmet.
At WRJN Radio. I'm Don Rosen. Thanks for joining us here on this Friday morning. Jimmy Cuska is here right now. Jimmy Cuska is attending the State Teachers Conference in Milwaukee. Now, he's our sports director here at Civic Media, and I thought he was covering the sports angle of the, of the Teachers Conference, but that's not the case. You're actually a school board member, right?
Yeah, so I'm on the school board in Bosqueville, Wisconsin, which is in far southwestern Wisconsin. Yeah, not a lot of sports angles for something like this, but I'm definitely here to learn about everything as a school board member.
I thought maybe in case a hockey fight broke out or something.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
Or somebody took a free shot from the half-court line and made it. I thought you were there to cover it. Okay, so this is the State Teachers Conference, right? So how many people are there?
So, you know, with 421 districts in the state, just about every district sent at least one person. A lot of districts, including ours, sent multiple. We sent four. A lot of them sent about the same amount, three, four. Some sent five or six. So just doing the quick math, well over 1,000 administrators, school board members are here at the Education Convention.
Now, where is it being held?
So we're in downtown Milwaukee at the Baird Center. It's been the venue for the last few years. One of the cool things about the venue is that they have the vendor hall on the third floor, the top floor, right? So when you walk in there, it's, you know, there's just over 1,000 vendors in there, right? There's just tons of people with all these different educational services. But the cool thing is that they actually have the companies that make school buses and sell school buses. And once you know it, they actually managed to get three or four school buses up there so people can walk through them and check them out. And I ask everybody, how do you get school buses up here? And I've heard every theory from, you know, they just pull the roof back and drop them in with helicopters, and they just build them right on site and everything. But it's still quite a sight when you walk in and you see full actual school buses hanging out on the third floor of the building.
Now, they haven't really changed much since I was a kid. I drive behind them all the time, and the kids are out there waving at me, giving obscene gestures to me. I see that all the time. Now, I when I was a kid, we didn't have, you didn't take school buses to school because I was able to walk it. But in kindergarten, they made us take them. And I remember my bus driver was Mr. Clancy. And he just like you would think, Mr. Clancy talked with like an Irish accent. And he was also a volunteer fireman. And he told me something back in 1960 that I never forgot. Actually, 1959, maybe. He told me something I never forgot for the rest of my life. He told me that if you hear, now this is the town I lived in, if you hear two short siren whistles from the fire department, it means a fire. One long one means an emergency. And it's funny. Now, that may have just been where I grew up. But it's funny what you remember on that bus. And again, the buses look the same. They're same yellow school buses, the same seats and same everything when I was a kid. So at the conference, they actually have vendors there showing you the latest in this, the latest in that, the latest in rulers to hit the kids on the wrist. I mean, the latest in everything, right?
Yeah, and what's really neat about it is there's things that you don't even think of in terms of education that, you know, make their way here. Everything from, you know, social media platforms and managers to how you can use AI in education to, you know, just strategies in communication. And there's a lot of aspects to it that you learn about as part of this. And as far as school bus technology, it is neat to kind of learn about that too. I didn't really know that school buses have changed a whole lot. When I rode on mine, my hour and a half bus ride in northern Wisconsin, you know, in the middle of the frozen winter, I'm like, well, this is cold, you know. But it's neat to see some of the trends. For example, painting the top of school buses white for reflecting some of the sunlight and keeping buses a little bit cooler, you know, in the warmer months. So there's just a few little things that you learn as you go through, the things that you would have never picked up, just, you know, not being that deeply involved in these things. So, it is really neat to learn about some of those trends in education and, you know, facilities. There are a lot of people with facilities things here. You know, it's really cool to have these conversations and just learn what all kind of goes into, you know, the school process.
Now, a lot of people say, why don't they have seatbelts on school buses? And there's a reason for it. And this was the reason I was given. If there's an emergency, you've got, what, 40 kids on a school bus? And if the bus driver has to unbuckle 40 kids in an emergency, it won't work. So what they do is they don't buckle them in. So in case of emergency, everybody can get out in a hurry. And we've seen school bus accidents on the news where buses burst into flames, and these kids got to get out in a hurry. And if they're buckled in, it would take a long time. So that's the reasoning they give. You talked about AI. Here's something that I don't know how teachers are going to fight this. I mean, kids doing their term papers and their papers with AI help. I mean, it used to be we copied out of an encyclopedia, and that was pretty obvious because they were using words we didn't know how to pronounce. But when you have AI, how are they going to fight that?
You know, and that's the thing, is a lot of these districts, you know, 56% of the districts in the state are considered rural, so they don't have the resources for someone to go through and check every paper and make sure. But, you know, the things that they were talking about here, you know, that was one of the subjects for sure. And you don't think sometimes of things like AI being necessarily a K-12 school issue, but it was interesting to see that it was part of the sessions that were offered yesterday. It wasn't one that I made it to. A lot of my sessions that I was in vetting were, you know, school board related policy, communication, and obviously school funding, which is a big issue this week at the convention, the main theme of it. But it was neat to see just some of these trends that kind of emerged, some of these new processes, you know, new teaching styles, all these things kind of on display here this week.
You know, I'm still friends with some of my high school teachers and junior high school teachers on Facebook. Most of my grammar school teachers are gone now, but my high school teachers are still there, and they're on Facebook with me all the time. I can't think of one teacher I had, or there was one teacher I had that didn't like me in seventh grade. She actually told my mother, says, I have a problem with your kid. We have a personality conflict. Well, that's great. That's why I got a D in that subject, I think. Anyway, but I loved my teachers. I learned so much from them. And I could tell you every single teacher I ever had in school and their names. Not just because I have the yearbook. I could tell you my grammar school teachers. I picture them in my head. My teachers were so good. And my school district was very lucky to hire great teachers. Is that a big problem, hiring the right? By the way, are people wanting to get into the teaching field?
You know, this is one of, I would say, if there's a theme of this convention, number one, and it's really pretty far and away the number one theme, is school funding and how schools are going to make money and keep operations going in the light of declining enrollment and the end of federal ESSER dollars. That's a longer conversation, and I've talked a lot about that on civic media this week. But you hit on one of the ones that's kind of like if we had a second one on this, like a 2A, 2B, hiring, retention, getting teachers in, that's been a huge issue because the teacher pool is much smaller, and there's some equity issues in terms of smaller districts being able to afford quality educators, where, you know, a larger district can offer a bit more in salary. They can follow inflation and offer wages that are kind of keeping pace with that. Whereas in a small district, to say, you know, last year when the inflation index was 8%, to offer an across the board 8% raise, that's a huge, huge commitment in your budget. So a lot of districts couldn't do that. This year, by the way, the number is up, you know, just over a little over 4%. And that's still a really big number when historically the number is, you know, less than 2%. So it is a big issue, and it's a really big issue for rural districts that, again, have to compete with the rest of the state in getting teachers in. And I'll just share an example in my district. We needed 2 math teachers. When we went in the summer, the off season, when you're hiring teachers, there were 276 openings for math teachers and maybe only 180 people kind of in that pool. So if you needed kind of an example of what it's like to be a small district, a lot of cases, a lot of times, smaller districts are pulling people who are just getting out of college or maybe just getting off their first student teaching assignment, and that's where they got to go. And oftentimes in a small district, they're often used as a stepping stone to get to one of those suburban or urban districts where they can offer more salary.
Yesterday we had a program here. We had one of the teachers in and 2 other people with a student, a 16-year-old junior from Park High School here in Racine. She developed, working on a diesel engine that now NASA will start to use. This is a junior in high school is developing this diesel engine that NASA now has their eyes on. That's amazing. That's amazing. Plus, she also plays the piano. She plays other instruments. She's a 16-year-old kid. This kid's got a future. And she's only 16 years old. Very quiet, unassuming person. But we're in here talking about education yesterday, so it just kind of felt good you coming in today.
Well, you know, you just hit on something, too. If there was another theme of this convention, it's been student achievement and highlighting just some of the incredible work that students are doing across Wisconsin. Every year they do an art exhibit here at the General Assembly. They have, you know, yesterday it was a wind ensemble from Middleton. We have music performers come in at this convention, which is, and they're all really good. I played band, and there's no way I could sit in any of these. These kids are really good. I think of just the things in our schools that are different than when I was in school, and I graduated high school in 2003, it was kind of just that early emergence of, you know, online schooling, you know, getting your credits through a webcam, right? Well, you know, last year at our graduation in Boscobel, again, not a big city, 2,000 plus people, but in our graduating class, we had one of our students graduate last year, and what we offer, like a lot of schools do, is dual credit. You can earn your college credits and your high school credits with the same course. You have to do it as distance learning, but a lot of students take advantage of this. And we had one kid who graduated with 27 college credits already in hand. That's a full year's worth of college credits, and you're leaving high school with basically a year of college already done, and you didn't have to pay a thing for it. Wow. I think that's just incredible. We also, this next year with our curriculum, and I didn't even know this about our own district. I've only lived there for 2.5 years, but our district actually, because we have a regional airport, we have an in-house flight simulator program. So we actually had a student who actually was the first one in our district last year to actually went through and passed that class in flight, the flight simulator class. And now it's actually a course offering for people interested in learning how to be a pilot.
Hold it right there. Jimmy Cuska is my guest. We're talking about the State Education Conference in Milwaukee. More to come. Stay right here. 719 WRJN, Hometown Radio Refresh.
News, talk, and sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
What a win! The Green Bay Packers now face the San Francisco 49ers this Saturday night in California. Catch every play and score on the Packers Radio Network, locally in Racine, on WRJN 1400 AM, 99.9 FM, and 98.1 FM in Kenosha. 98Q Country in Park Falls and in Richland Center on WRCO 100.9 FM. The Packers against the 49ers this Saturday night. Pregame at 5, kickoff 7:15. What a team! The Packers and the Civic Media Radio Network.
There are a thousand ways to say it.
Nope. Knock it off. Shut it down. Dream on. No dice. Give it a rest. Not a chance.
Or just
all text. You focus on the road.
As a passenger, you have the power to prevent an accident. There are a thousand ways to stop a distracted driver. Choose one.
A message from CTIA.
You're listening to News, Talk, and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
At 720 at WRJN Radio, I'm Don Rose and Jimmy Tusk is here. He's our sports director at Civic Media, but also a school board member. And he's at the State Education Conference going on right now in Milwaukee. And we're just talking off the air about your graduating class, what, had 36 people in it?
Yeah, Flambeau High School, 36 kids. And it was one of the bigger classes that we had to go through.
You could have held that one at Denny's at graduation. Mine had 970 people in my graduating class. 4,000 people in my high school, four grades.
The town that our high school was in had 110 as a population. So that's pretty crazy. Wow.
It was just but you know what? It wasn't odd to me because that was just it. It was just, you know, the bell rang and it was bumper to bumper people in the hallway all the time. But, you know, I love my high school. I tried to be in the drama club. I couldn't act. So I was the stage manager for a couple of years. We built a radio station. Me and another person there got enough money from the principal. We stormed into his office, didn't need money to build a radio station, and we built it. When I graduated, it still wasn't on the air, but it was built. It looked like a real radio station, and we took over part of the lighting booth. We had the janitors build a wall. And so I had a great time in high school. I loved school.
Yeah, your school was famous for building a radio station. My school was famous for being one of the first to have drive your tractor to school day. So it's a lot of common.
No, I grew up in New York. We didn't have tractors. And I was lucky, though. I grew up in a nice town of Massapequa. My brother went to school in the Bronx when we were growing up there. But I grew up in Massapequa. It was just a great time. I loved school. I loved my teachers. I loved everything about it. I just, you know, and when I talked to a lot of the kids on Facebook that I, you know, went to school with, of course, they're all senior citizens now, unlike me. And we just talk about the good times we had. And it's just, you know, they say you forget the bad times. I didn't have any bad times. So what else was going on there at the conference? Want to get some of the other stuff you've been listening to over there?
Sure. I mean, the big theme has been school funding. A lot of schools are facing financial things. And I think one of the things that's going to affect, you know, especially, you know, listeners, is the fact that a lot of school districts are considering going to what is called an operational referendum, which is going to raise, you know, which could potentially raise property taxes. They survey districts, and about a quarter of the districts in the state, a little more than a quarter, are considering that for this year. The record was 92 2 years ago. And everybody sort of expects it's going to be well over 100 this year. So if you're listening, there's a good chance your district's considering this. And if they are considering it for April, they'll probably have a school board meeting on Monday to decide that. So if you want to be somebody engaged in that process, make sure you're checking that part of it out. I know that this is in the news a lot and people talk about a lot of these things. But the bottom line is that districts haven't had the funding to keep up with the rising cost of just about everything. But that includes, you know, staffing and materials and facilities. And so that's why they go to these operational referenda to kind of fill that gap in the budget. The expiration of federal COVID funds is what's really kicking off this round of it, where you're going to see quite possibly, and I would say it's almost certain that we'll have a record number of these referenda, because the federal pandemic funds all expire in September. And that's how a lot of districts have been balancing the budget until now. So that's something, I think that's really the big trend from this convention. It's what's been talked about a lot this year. So I would say if there was anything that really came from it, that's one. We talked already a bit about some of the other positive trends, obviously, in education with achievement and everything. And, you know, obviously this convention draws, you know, the big stars of education in Wisconsin. So, you know, a couple of days ago, actually the last 2 days, we've had the state superintendent here, Dr. Jill Underley. And then today at the final part of this, which is just before noon today, that's when everything wraps up. We'll have Governor Tony Evers here to give a speech as well. So that is really kind of, I guess, a 2-minute kind of synopsis of everything that's going on here this week at the Education Convention.
Now, we had something in my high school that I can't believe we actually lived through it. We had a teacher strike in my senior year. I think it was the senior year. It could have been the junior year. And they were off for 2 months. That's a long time. And a lot of the teachers were walking the picket lines in front of the high school. The other teachers, some of mine, were having classes at their house. So we'd go over to the teacher's house, and in their rec room, we would do our studies because we were getting ready for, you know, the college exams. And New York State requires the regent exam. They don't have that anywhere else. But you got to take these regents exams if you're going to state schools. And you have to be prepared for it with a 2-month strike or whatever it was. I mean, even on my high school isn't there anymore. So I called up the other high school in town. There were two high schools. I said, whatever happened to my records from my high school? Oh, we have them here. What's your name? And I told Donald Rosen. He says, oh, I'm holding it in my hand right now. I said, could you send me a copy? She goes, yeah. And that's, you know, she didn't ask for proof or anything. So I got the copy. And on there, you know, all your grades are there for 4 years, all your achievements. There's a note in bold. It says, the teachers were on strike, and the list of the dates. Please don't hold this against this student when it comes to Regents testing or any other testing that wasn't available during those 2 months. It was written right on there, and I kind of forgot about the how long it was. But, I kudos to those teachers that said, come on over our house. They had lunch for us and everything, and each day was a different teacher. I remember the Spanish teacher went over her house, and she got us ready for the exams during the teacher strike. And I thought that was great.
Well, you know, Don, and current students, especially younger students, had to go through something sort of similar with the pandemic, where we had a lot of schools going to virtual learning.
Yeah.
So now we've seen the drop off in the testing and things like that. And I think people understand that was all going to be affected by that. So I think the kids now can actually relate to something like that because they had to go through it where they weren't able to go into school.
Absolutely. You know, I kind of forgot about that. Virtual learning. Did it work? I mean, were you able to sit there at home and learn on was it Zoom, or how did they do it?
Yeah, that was what happens in a lot of cases. My kids are very young, so my experience with it was my oldest was in 4K, and let me tell you, virtual 4K is not the way. kids that young need to be able to run and play, and trying to sit them down in front of a video for, you know, even 7 minutes is a challenge. I think it's like anything; it varies by person. Older students, you know, older kids can probably handle it better, but I tell you what, the data is pretty clear that pandemic era testing really brought scores down, and you know it really kind of precipitated a change in what you know, where students are going to school. You see, you know, you're seeing rises in kids going to voucher programs or private schools or homeschooling, especially homeschooling. But you know, that being said, there's still, of all the students in Wisconsin, 83% of them are still in public schools. So, but you know, you look at the testing, the numbers. There's no doubt that the pandemic and the virtual learning and things like that all really affected how kids have learned here in the past 4 years.
Well, I'm going to find out, because I went to Hofstra University, and I was working overnights at a radio station 7 nights a week. I was the station janitor, and I was going to college full time, and I was so exhausted. I said, "I'll take my last semester." I had one semester to go, a half a year to go. And I said, let me put that on hold for a while. My mother said, if you do that, you'll never go back. I said, I'll go back. Well, she's right, I didn't. So I called Hofstra University last year, and I said, you know, I want to go back. Well, first you have to go online and do this to find out how many credits you need, because you lose some of them. And I said, well, how would I do it? She says, oh, you do it online. So I'm going to find out what it's like to learn online.
Don, I did this. I actually went, because during the pandemic, I had a radio job for 17 years. I got laid off from it. I'm like, well, I got to do something, you know, with my time while I'm out. So I actually went back and did my schooling online with UW Superior, and it was all virtual and a lot different experience than what I had when I had gone to college previously. So I did my 1 year to finish my bachelor's degree, and it is a lot different. But the technology is a lot different, too, and it makes it able for you to actually, you know, learn things as you go. So
Jimmy Cusk is at the state convention. Thank you very much for spending Friday morning with us. I do appreciate it, Jimmy. Jimmy's also our sports director here at Civic Media. And I know the Badgers are playing tonight at 6 p.m. against Indiana because Jimmy told me so. So that's how I know. Hey, thanks a lot, my friend. Hold on the line. Don't go anywhere. Hold on. It's 729 at WRJN. We're Hometown Radio Refreshed, a Civic Media station.
This is News Talk and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
CBS News Brief. A warning from New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy with more snow falling.
So if you can, please, please, please consider working from home.
In Washington, Congress has voted to avoid a partial government shutdown. Connecticut Democrat Rosa DeLauro pushed for the bill.
Let's do what is right for the American people and the people who work in this institution and who work in agencies all over this country.
CBS's Bradley Blackburn on who's trailing behind the Republican presidential hopefuls ahead of the New Hampshire primary on Tuesday.
In a radio interview yesterday, DeSantis said he has the resources to stay in the race through March.
I'm in it to win it. At some point, you know, if that's not working out for you, like I recognize that this isn't a vanity thing for me.
The latest polls show former U.N. Ambassador Nikki Haley behind frontrunner former President Trump. CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republicans in the state assembly passed a bill Thursday to let parents decide what pronouns a child uses in school and whether or not they should learn controversial subjects. The Parental Bill of Rights would allow parents to opt their children out of any lessons about gender, sexual orientation, race, or other deemed controversial subjects. Democrats say the bill disrupts school protocols and is nothing more than censorship. If it makes it to Governor Evers' desk, he will almost certainly veto it. More people than ever have a job in Wisconsin. State officials are out with their final numbers for December. The Department of Workforce Development says Wisconsin added more than 2,200 jobs in December. The jobless rate is near record low, 3.3%. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder. Metamorphosis, the loss of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
WRJN. It is going to be cloudy with off and on light snow continuing, although I do not expect much more in the way of accumulation, maybe an additional dusting on top of what we have. It's going to be a bit breezy, too, so there could be some blowing snow at times. 14 the high, the wind will be northwest at 15 to 25. Tonight down to 4 above, tomorrow sunshine. High of 16. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now is 10.
To the big-hearted, the bold, the teachers, the growers, the builders, the change makers, we need you. We are the Peace Corps. In more than 60 countries, we go the distance to make a difference. We're volunteers, partners, communities, bringing our experience, joy, and passion to building a better world together. Are you looking for more? Then we are looking for you. Join us at peacecorps.gov.
News, talk, and sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
A psychological thriller that unravels into a clever, calculated mystery. Dial M for Murder.
Continues this weekend at the Racine Theater Guild.
Tony marries Margot for her money and is named heir of her estate. He creates the perfect crime by blackmailing an old acquaintance to murder her. When the would-be killer ends up dead by Margot's hand, Tony works to frame his wife as the plot weaves a tangled web full of deception and danger.
Call the box office at 633-4218 or visit RacineTheater.org for showtimes and tickets.
I'm Dr. Jasmine Zapata, Chief Medical Officer for Community Health at the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. Every year in the U.S., about 21,000 lung cancer deaths are caused by radon, an odorless, tasteless, and colorless gas. One in 10 Wisconsin homes has high levels of radon. Does yours? Call 1-888-LOW-RADON or visit lowradon.org to learn more. Test. Fix. Save a life.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
On air, online, and on the Civic Media app.
Battle stations, everybody. Let's go. Go.
This
go, go,
is 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN.
I got a great family. I got a 16-year-old daughter who just got her driver's license. So you should all drop to your knees and thank the good Lord above that you live here and not where we live. God, she's growing up. She's growing up, but I don't know when it happened, man. I used to buy her Minnie Mouse panties and little Winnie the Pooh underwear. I came home the other day and I was helping my wife fold clothes. I picked up this little pair of skimpy underwear. I looked at my wife and I said, hey, when are you going to wear these for me? She goes, I can't. They're your daughter's. Ah! No, no, no. There was nothing to them. When the how to wash tag is the biggest piece of cloth on there.
Your job's a joke, you broke, your love life's DOA. It's like you're always stuck in second gear. When it hasn't been your day, your week, your month, or even your year. But I'll be there for you. When the rain starts to fall, I'll be there for you. I'll be there for you.
Six 36 WRJN Radio, hometown radio, refreshed, a Civic Media station. I'm Don Rosen. I want to thank you for joining us here on this Friday morning. We have got a full half hour today with Brett Hoffman from Marcus Theaters. Now, the reason we did that, I spoke to his agent. It was a long negotiation, but I got him to approve an extra 10 minutes with Brett this morning. It went into the middle of the night last night, Brett. We just had to talk to your agent. He didn't want to give in on this. He said we can't have him on for an extra 10 minutes. Finally, we negotiated, we got it done, and now you're in. Good.
And ultimately, Don, the reason we did that, because today is January 19th, and for those that don't know, happy National Popcorn Day to everyone.
Oh, theaters were built on popcorn.
That's exactly right. So come out to Marcus Theaters. If you're a rewards member, today you're going to get $5 off any size popcorn, and you have a chance to win popcorn for a year. So happy National Popcorn Day, January 19th.
Now, they don't have these anymore. When I was a kid, we used to have matinees, Saturday matinees. And during the summer, we had a theater chain called AIT, Associated Independent Theaters, and they were all looked the same. They were all identical theaters. And they all ran kiddie matinees every day during the summer at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and on Saturdays and Sundays at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And these were just... these weren't the regular movies showing in theaters. They were monster movies, horror movies, things like that. And we used to go, and they had a matron in the theater. She wore a white outfit. She was an older lady. And she knew us because we were the same kids every day coming in, every weekend. And she used to say, you're going to sit over there. You're sitting over there. It's just to break us up, which, you know, then when the lights came out, we all, you know, went back to our seats together. But she wanted to keep the troublemakers, you know, separated. And she actually came, and they used to shine a light in your face when you were talking. Stop talking. And kids would, the only reason made me think about this, because kids used to throw popcorn at the screen. I mean, nobody does that anymore. But we used to, I didn't do it, but they used to take their popcorn and shoot it at the screen. And I can't believe we used to do that. Not we, they used to do that. But she used to catch you with the flashlight. She said, come on, come with me. And kids on a regular basis would get thrown out in the middle of the movie. Of course, they don't do that anymore. But those are the good old days. You mentioned popcorn. That's what reminded me of that. But I remember pretzel sticks they used to sell in bags. Pretzel sticks were 6 cents for the bag of pretzel sticks. The cheapest thing to win you. No money left. You can get the pretzel sticks. And one thing we couldn't bring into the movie theater, the kids during the matinee, they wouldn't allow us to bring our drinks into the theater. Couldn't bring sodas in there. Because they knew you were going to throw it at somebody. They didn't want to deal with it.
You're going to throw it, and remember, we are years past the age of soap floors. But if you remember soap floors in movie theaters, when sodas would spill, we'd travel all the way down to the front and create those sticky floors. But we don't have that anymore because all the theaters in the area are stadium seating and have recliners and things like that. But if you remember the conditions of theaters before,
yeah. It
was definitely not the luxurious experience that it is now.
No, it is not. And I just remember... You had to drink it in the lobby. You couldn't bring it to your seat because they didn't trust it. Now, the adults can do it at night. It's during the matinees they wouldn't let us do it. And we just, you know, I look back now. I would have said, I'm drinking it in the theater. I don't care what you say. You can't discriminate against my age. All right, let's talk about movies right now. What's the top of the box office? Number one was, what was the number one film this past weekend?
Well, this past weekend, it was Mean Girls, which did tremendously. Yeah, it brought in $32 million, and this was the musical rendition of the 2004 movie. It came back. Tina Fey's in the movie. A lot of others are in this one, and people are really enjoying this. So if you didn't get out because of the cold snap and the snow last weekend, Mean Girls is an excellent choice. Then the other one at the top was the new one, The Beekeeper, which got some great ratings, got people loving that movie. It's an action movie with Jason Statham, and that's another good one that people may have missed because of the cold last week.
Now, I asked you about a movie before we went on the air because on Nightlight here in WRJN with Pat Schwabe, he had a guest on, and they were talking about movies, and they mentioned this picture that they think is The Second Coming. And I already forgot the name. Saltburn. I never heard of it before. Did you?
Yeah, you know, I did. It's about a student that basically finds himself. Basically, he gets charmed into getting invited by an eclectic family's estate for the summer. And when he gets there, he finds that things are almost cult-like or very interesting when he gets there. But it is a tremendous. It is a tremendous film. It's a rated R film, and it came out towards the end of this past year. Now, it was originally talked about for some nominations, but we might get into some nominations later because they get released next Tuesday. It looks like probably not. It won't make the cut, but it was a darling of the critics, and people definitely did enjoy this one.
Now, when the nominations come out, years ago, 5 pictures nominated for Best Picture, that was it. Now it's up to 10, and I think the reason they did it was the 5 nominated pictures nobody heard of because they're good movies, it's just they weren't action movies like, you know, people like to go see. And nobody was watching the Academy Awards because nobody cared. So they made it 10, so they get movies like Batman, The Dark Man, The Dark Knight Return. They get all these movies in there that people heard of now, so they make it up to 10. But they don't have to have 10. They can have up to 10. Did it help any by nominating up to 10 films? I think it might have.
Well, I think it makes it a little bit more interesting. You do get some films that maybe on the fringes that may have not gotten in before when there were 5. 5 was probably too exclusive. This gives a lot of different voices to be heard and a lot of different things to come in. You normally get a film, a foreign language film or a film produced in another country that gets in. Of course, we had that with the Korean film Parasite that actually won Best Picture
couple
years ago.
Good movie.
So when you look at some of those things, I think it's very positive that we're getting more films. It gives a chance for more people to debate. And I think, in general, they've done a very good job nominating 10 good films over the course, you know, that from the course of the previous years. So I'm in favor of this. I think it gives more people a chance. And when you look at what probably will come up or the nominations that probably will happen this next Tuesday, I mean, there is a good mix of popular movies and other movies that a lot of people may have not experienced, they have a chance to go see over the course of several weeks leading up to March 10th, when on Sunday night, that's when the award broadcast is. You're going to see Barbie in it coming up. You're going to see Oppenheimer coming up. But you're also going to see some movies that people probably haven't experienced that are frankly gaining momentum.
Also, Killers of the Flower Moon, I expect to be up there as well.
Killers of the Flower Moon will be there. Amazingly, what's being talked about for Best Picture right now, Oppenheimer is probably in it. I don't think Barbie will get it, although it is being considered. The movie Poor Things has tremendous momentum right now. And this is a movie starring Emma Stone. It won awards at the Golden Globes, and it seems to have the most momentum right now. So this is one that people will probably get more familiar with. It has been out for a few weeks in limited to moderate release. This is one that people will probably become more familiar with as they gets nominated and people start talking about this one. It's a movie about Emma Stone. It's in the Victorian era. She's a woman that gets brought back to life by this mad scientist. Not only does it star Emma Stone, but it also stars William Dafoe and Mark Ruffalo. So great cast, and should be an interesting movie. But when you look at everything else that's coming out, you've got a movie called The Holdovers, which stars Paul Giamatti, which was a tremendous movie, which will likely get nominated. This is one of those movies that probably will not win, but will get nominated, and people should see that. And then there's a movie that is out right now, and it's at the Renaissance Cinema, right there in Sturtevant/Racine, and it is tremendous. It is called American Fiction. It's an R-rated drama/comedy. It stars Jeffrey Wright, and he's this African-American novelist who's just fed up with what he thinks is the establishment profiting from black entertainment, and he feels that it's reducing people to these outrageous stereotypes. So he goes out, and he writes this outlandish book using a pen name, and it's all a satire. And he puts it out, and of course, everyone, including his publisher, seems to take it seriously. They don't think it's a comedy. And this sets up this wild string of events throughout the film. Jeffrey Wright is fantastic, and I think that's going to get some nominations. So that is currently playing now at the Renaissance Cinema. Go check it out. It's American Fiction. I think it's going to be nominated next week, and it's a funny movie and just a great experience from Jeffrey Wright, too, because it's also a drama. So he really shows his versatility through this movie, American Fiction.
You mentioned Paul Giamatti. He won the Golden Globe for Best Actor and for The Holdovers. And they showed him, he had his Golden Globe with him, and he went out to In-N-Out Burger in his tuxedo after the award ceremony was over. And somebody took a picture of me sitting there with a hamburger at In-N-Out Burger, and there on the table is his Golden Globe award. Still, when he's wearing his tuxedo, he just said he wanted a burger. He didn't want to eat the fancy food. He just was in the mood for it. You know, here's another film. This happened during the pandemic, the beginning of the pandemic. It won for Best Picture of the Year. Nobody had ever heard of it. I've seen it four times already. I just love this movie, Nomadland. Won Best Picture. And who's the lady? She was in, she starred in Fargo. I can't think of the name of her.
Yeah, it's Frances McDormand. And yeah, what a tremendous performance by her in the movie as well.
Yeah, it's basically a true story. The characters aren't true, but the whole story about people that can't afford to live, you know, in a house, they live in their vans and they travel the country because they don't have anywhere to go. They lost everything. And it's, you know, it's that you get a good actor in a movie that you never, and they can make the whole film. It's like Paul Giamatti. You can make it or break it. And in this film, Frances McDormand makes Nomadland. You empathize with this woman. And if nobody's ever seen that film, get a copy of it. Go watch it somewhere. I don't know where you can find it, but if you can find it anywhere, like the public library, get the film Nomadland. We were talking about, there's another film, which I think it came out this year. Is it the Boys in the Boat? Is that the film from George Clooney?
Yes, and that one likely won't get nominated, but let's talk about a film that everyone is loving, which is The Boys in the Boat. And that was based on a novel, and it was based on the novel of the rowing team from Washington University, for the University of Washington in the 1930s, that basically qualifies and goes over to the 1936 Olympics in Berlin and beats the Nazis. And it's a very uplifting movie. It's one that everyone's enjoying, and that's out right now, too. So I'd encourage everyone to go see that. George Clooney directs it, but he doesn't star in it, which is interesting. I think people would probably have been looking for that. But regardless, it is a spectacular film that I have not heard anyone come out of that did not enjoy it, did not feel uplifted, and just did not feel tremendous after seeing the movie The Boys in the Boat.
Yeah, my wife wants to see it. We'll probably maybe see it this weekend. We have no plans on the agenda, so I think we'll take in a movie this weekend. We bought a gift card, which comes with a snack card in there, so I think we'll use it this week. See, we buy gift cards for ourselves, not to give away to anybody. We buy it because we want to use it to get that $5 snack card with it. It's 7:48, and guests, normally we say goodbye to Brett Hoffman at this point. They're not saying goodbye. He's hanging in here. We're going to talk about what's new at the movies this weekend. It's 7:49 at WRJN Radio. Cloudy with a high near 15 today. Right now it's cloudy and 11. Don't forget the Packers against the 49ers live on WRJN Radio Saturday, 5 p.m. They win this game, they got one more to go, and it's to the Super Bowl. And you can hear all the action right here at WRJN. Don't forget, Badgers at Indiana tonight, 6:30 p.m. Hometown Radio Refresh to Civic Media Station, WRJN.
You're listening to News, Talk, and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
A psychological thriller that unravels into a clever, calculated mystery. Dial M for Murder.
Continues this weekend at the Racine Theater Guild.
Tony marries Margot for her money and is named heir of her estate. He creates the perfect crime by blackmailing an old acquaintance to murder her. When the would-be killer ends up dead by Margot's hand, Tony works to frame his wife as the plot weaves a tangled web full of deception and danger.
Call the box office at 633-4218 or visit RacineTheater.org for showtimes and tickets.
Hospice Alliance salutes the work of Martin Luther King Jr. as we celebrate his accomplishments in civil rights. His leadership in fighting injustice through peaceful protest, the March on Washington, the Montgomery bus boycott, the Civil Rights and Voting Rights Acts, and more, MLK led the way for millions to work towards achieving equality. This week, join Hospice Alliance in recognizing Dr. King's accomplishments and contributions with Civic Media.
This is News Talk and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
Oh, great. I just cleaned the CD player, too. And it's skipping all over the place. I'm going to try that one more time. That's such a good song. I can't believe that thing is skipping. Let me just get that thing straightened out for you, Brett. I told her, I said, Brett, you're going to know this song after the first note. Fortunately, it didn't work. Let's try it one more time here. See if we can get that note for you. Let's try it here. Here we go.
It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a dog. It's been a hard day's night.
No, I didn't worry. But you did recognize it from the first note, right?
Well, you definitely do, but then obviously the first line gives it away. A tremendous film by the Beatles, and what a time that was. And in fact, you watch that movie now, and it's kind of interesting as a retrospective to look at what were concerts back then, and then you look and see what Taylor Swift is doing right now and what she put out on the big screen, and you just see how far we've come in terms of production and everything else that goes into a stadium music experience.
You know, and it's funny, every song on that album is a hit song. It's interesting because the Beatles were signed to Capitol Records at the time. So every song that came out had to come through Capitol Records, except this, because United Artists released the movie and they claim we have the complete rights to everything that's in that movie, including the soundtrack. So United Artists put out the soundtrack to A Hard Day's Night, which was, you know, sold, you know, oodles and boodles of albums, and Capitol Records couldn't release any of those songs. They were all on United Artists. Funny how those things work out. Hey, we've got a new movie opening up, one movie this weekend, and it sounds like it's a really exciting space movie. What is that?
Yeah, it's called ISS. It's an R-rated sci-fi thriller. Now, ISS stands for International Space Station. This is put out or distributed by a smaller studio called Bleecker Street, but they put out some tremendous films. And as you're right, it occurs in space on the International Space Station. And the story is really an interesting one. Tensions, they look down on Earth and tensions are flaring. And a and conflicts are going on around on Earth, and there's a team of U.S. and there's a team of Russian astronauts on the International Space Station, and they both independently get orders from the ground to take control of the station by any means necessary. So, of course, there's conflict, there's confined spaces, it's space. This is a movie that people are really enjoying. So ISS is out at the theater right now and would be a good one to check out. As a matter of fact, I'd recommend anyone go to see it because space movies just look tremendous on the big screen. When you think about movies that you just love to see on a big screen with the black, the dense blacks of space, whether it's the movie Gravity or this one, ISS, it's a great movie.
I was just going to say Gravity. My mom, I took her to see that in 3D. And we're sitting in the theater, and it was the best 3D I have ever seen in my entire life. When, what's the actress's name? Don't tell me. I got it on the tip of my tongue. Sandra Bullock. When she's holding a wrench and she lets go of the wrench, she's trying to fix her spacecraft when she's all alone up there. George Clooney was in that movie, by the way. When she lets go of the wrench, it's floating through the theater, and my mother's trying to grab it in the air. And she says, "It's right here." I said, "Yeah, it's right there. Grab it." It was the 3D in that picture. It was so good. And when you think about it, the whole movie, for the most part, except for the ending, was in a very confined space, in outer space. But yet it was so riveting because you had a great performance by Sandra Bullock in that film. And that is it. But you got to see that movie in 3D in the theater. You can't watch it. When you watch it in 2D on a TV screen, it doesn't have the same effect as the 3D did. It was that good. But did you see it in 3D?
I did. Gravity is a tremendous movie. And in fact, when people talk about 3D, they often talk about the Avatar films. They often talk about Gravity, which is really a shame because 3D has come a long way. I think maybe, 10, 15 years ago or so, people looked at some of the 3D movies and they said, well, this is not the greatest 3D movie. Now, the movies that are being put out in 3D now have spectacular production behind them, and I'd recommend people go give 3D a chance the next time it comes out or the next time a movie is in 3D. Now, International Space Station is not, but I'm an advocate for 3D, and give it a chance because it's come a long way with the digital projection technology.
And they don't use those red and blue visors anymore to go see it. I actually have a DVD at home of the Polar Express in 3D. It was put out on DVD in 3D, but you got to wear those red and blue glasses, and it's not horrible 3D, but when you watch it at home, it's not the same thing. It has more depth than anything else. Nothing comes out at the screen. It's just very deep into the screen. You can see it. So let's talk about Mean Girls. Now, this is a sequel. Do you know that Lindsay Lohan, and I'm going to kind of put a spoiler here, she got $500,000 for that cameo in that movie. $500,000. This is based on more of the Broadway musical Mean Girls, because it's got songs in it. And so, go ahead.
Yeah, exactly right. People are loving this one. If you like the comedy of the first Mean Girls, you're going to love this one. And, of course, this is a musical version. I'm meeting people, and I'm talking to people, and I'm floored by how many people have Mean Girls in their top five movies of all time in terms of enjoyable watching movies. When people go back and they cite movies, a lot of them cite comedies like some of the John Hughes films, but then there's a whole group of people that cite the 2004 film Mean Girls as their favorite film ever, and every one of those people comes back to me and tells me how much they loved going to the movies last weekend to see this Mean Girls musical.
I got news for you. People who grew up in the 80s, they always tell you about The Breakfast Club being their favorite film. Quick aside here. The pastor at my church, Spencer DeBerg, he went to North Hollywood High School, and his class was Molly Ringwald. She was one of his classmates in that in Hollywood High School. But yeah, The Breakfast Club is one of those films people always talk about. You guys have brought that back a couple of times already. In the theater, The Breakfast Club. It was a good movie. I liked it. Of course, I'm not a child of the 80s, but a lot of people like those films, from the 80s. I like my high school films growing up. So everybody's got their favorites. So anyway, so this weekend, and what's the name of the film again? It's called ISS.
It's called ISS. Yeah. It's called International, stands for International Space Station. And then don't forget also, American Fiction has recently been expanding, which we talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. And this is the comedy drama starring Jeffrey Wright. It is doing tremendously and will likely get nominated next Tuesday when the Academy announces their nominations. So check those two out. Those are great films.
And next Friday, you and me, we have to commiserate about these nominations next Friday.
We certainly will. We'll see what surprises. There's always a few surprises, and that's what makes it so thrilling.
Yeah. Hey, Brett Hoffman, good friend. I love you. Marcus Theaters, go see a movie this weekend. Get those recliners. Get the National Popcorn Day today. Get your special deals on popcorn. Hey, thanks, my friend. I'll talk to you next Friday.
They're very good. Happy National Popcorn Day, everyone.
Okay, bye-bye now. Brett Hoffman from Marcus Theaters. Always good to talk to him. Love the movies. Grew up going to the movies. Love movies. It's 7:58 at WRJN. I will see you Monday morning, 6 o'clock, bright and early. We got a full week of guests next week. You're going to love it. You got to be here for that, all right? Don't forget, Saturday, the Packers and 49ers live from San Francisco, 5 p.m. on WRJN Radio. Hometown Radio Refreshed, a Civic Media station. 1400 AM, 99.9 and 98.1 FM. Have yourself a great weekend. I'm Don Rosen. Enjoy yourself.
News, talk, and the sports that made Wisconsin great. Packers, Bucks, and coming in 2024, the Brewers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Every day is a great day to visit O&H Danish Bakery. If you love walnuts, they've never tasted better than those baked in O&H Danish Bakery's Maple Walnut Kringle. O&H's blend of pure grade A Canadian maple syrup, cinnamon, and golden California walnuts is a fabulous filling. It's glazed and topped with toasted walnut pieces and drizzled with O&H's sweet icing. So be sure to pick one up this week. Enjoy oven fresh, scratch-made Danish delights from O&H Danish Bakery in Racine, Sturtevant, and Oak Creek. WRJN.
Your home for the Packers.
1400 AM WRJN Racine, 99.9 FM W260 CV Racine, and 98.1 FM W251 BU Kenosha.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.